Bride, this meeting is being recorded.
All right, it's all yours.
Okay, let's call the meeting to order. Can you read off the people who are online, please?
Yes. Online, we have, well, it'll show up as, my name's up there. We just had Heather Tischbein and Sherry File join. We have Maggie Dirk with the City of Vancouver, Jackie Lane. Jim Malinowski is in person and online. We have John Hanson online. Carissa H. is online. Kim O'Hara. Linda Mashiel. Mark Herseg. Gentleman named Tom. Kevin McDowell. And Zach Keith. And then Eric Fuller has just joined as well. I think that's everybody.
Okay. Welcome, everyone. Do we need to run through? I guess we can run through. Go ahead. We're online, Daniel. What announcement?
Daniel Cowley, Clark County Parks and Lands.
Jim Pearson, Railroad Advisory Board.
Neil Chambers, Railroad Advisory Board.
Mark Daniels, Railroad Advisory Board.
Jim Malinowski, Railroad Advisory Board.
John Schaefer, Railroad Advisory Board.
I'm Daniel Weaver, Railroad Advisory Board.
Randy Williams, BYCX.
Doug Auberg, BYCX.
Sue Marshall, Council District 5.
Charles Hancock, neighbor to the railroad.
Glenn Young, County Council.
Michael O'Connell, former property owner and railroad fan.
Okay, thank you and welcome all. There's someone here that wants to get out of here early, so we're going to try to get a quick meeting tonight.
Go doggies.
John wants to see his dogs play tonight. Anyway, let's... has ever been read the minutes?
Moved to accept.
I'll
second.
It's been moved in second. We accept the minutes. I have just a couple of questions on them. On the second page under county activities, the first bullet under the first dot, it says the bid will be out late summer slash or early fall next year. What happened to summer, spring and summer?
Sorry, can you repeat that? I was doing some troubleshooting online here.
It says that the project will be out for bid late winter or early fall next year.
This should be early spring, so that's probably a correction that we need to...
Yeah, just...
Make that. We'll make that one correction.
And let me see. That's all I had. Any other questions or comments? All those in favor of accepting the minutes as corrected, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Then the minutes are accepted. I have a few comments to make. I guess I want to make sure we are back in focus. We kind of are wandering around on what we've talked about, and maybe a couple of our new board members aren't exactly sure what our purpose is, but I want to read the mission statement that we all agreed to at one point sometime back, and then make sure that we all understand that that's where we're going with the Railroad Advisory Board. And we have, one of the reasons for doing this is that we now have lost some of our key characters on the board that had railroad experience in the past. Jack Melton and Lloyd Lycan both had real railroad experience. We now have Mark Daniels, who has some real railroad experience, but we've lost some of our background. We also have lost the Port of Vancouver, who is looking in a different direction and not interested in focusing on any arrangement with the railroad. The City of Vancouver has asked to not be a board member, but to just have someone that is sitting in on the meetings and will comment if requested a comment from the city, and will advise us if they have anything that they want to say. So we've lost some important people on the board, and we're now in a position that we need to replace and get some of that experience and efforts back with us. But I want to read the mission statement first, and then we'll go from there. The mission of the Railroad Advisory Board is to suggest developmental and operational options for the railroad that will be instrumental in making the railroad a public resource and a revenue generator for Clark County, and ultimately financially self-supporting. The ultimate goal is the ownership of the railroad and railroad right-of-way shall be to provide positive economic impact, stimulate economic growth, widen opportunities for employment, and encourage safe recreational activities. The Railroad Advisory Board will work with the railroad operator, government agencies, economic development groups, and private parties to identify and promote sites that will support railroad activity. I mean, that's what we're here for. We're not to be a controversial subject to kick around. I mean, that's our purpose in acting on the Railroad Advisory Board. We have the right to advise on anything and everything that comes to our interest as a railroad operation, but not to get involved in the political environment or the contractual requirements or anything else. That's what our purpose is. And John will be talking about later. We'll be talking about the efforts we want to have in terms of soliciting new members to the board.
Question.
Yes.
So we're not going to be involved in the political. We've always been involved in the political. We go to Olympia. We go to.
Political meaning not the controversial politicalness of the activities of people involved. We will be politically involved in terms of trying to solicit grants and funds available for the railroad activities.
I disagree.
What?
Well, what's going on politically by the actions of the railroad are making all of our other activities impossible. We can't go raise funds. We can't, get any support from our neighbors until that gets resolved.
Well, we're affected by it, but I'm not sure we should be involved in it.
Well, we can make recommendations.
We can make recommendations as to how to weave through some of those efforts, but we shouldn't be involved in politically promoting one thing over another unless it fits into with our recommendations. I guess if it affects our recommendations, yes, we would be involved. Involved in your sense means that, yes, we're involved because of the activities politically that are going on. We should try to mitigate them, I guess that's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't think I understand, but go ahead.
The other thing I'll say that I have finally read and digested and am now in approval of the revised code sections that we want to submit to the Board of County Councilors for approval. And the bylaws that we operate under, the revisions that were made primarily to comply with the new form of government we have with the charter, county charter. So those I have approved, but if everyone's read them, we'll talk about that later, but we'll vote on those today. Any rate, that's all I have. Next thing on the agenda is election of officers. We're required by our bylaws to elect officers at the beginning of each year of operation. So I'm going to open nominations for election of chair and vice chair.
I would nominate Dan Weaver as chair and John Schaefer as co-chair or vice chair.
And I'll second those motions.
Any comments to that? Nobody wants to get rid of us?
Well, I think you guys have got the experience that to benefit the group.
Anything else? You want to comment, John?
I want to, but I won't.
All right, no further discussion. All those in favor of the election of John and I as backup officers?
Aye.
All those say aye?
Aye.
Any opposed? You're it for a while. Okay. Having done that, let's talk about PVJIR activities. Since we have nobody here, I guess we're not going to talk about them.
Why not?
Does anybody want to comment on PVJIR activities?
Well, I'd like to know what's going on. I've heard that they've been shut down by the federal government, and I've heard that the county has issued a default notice. Is that true?
I had planned in my section of county activities to give you all an update and show you what the county's put together for the community to see. So we can do that at that time.
Okay. Oh, thank you. All right. That's fine.
And PVJR, so Eric Temple did email me today and said that he gave me an update on car numbers. So there were 45 loaded rail cars for the month of December. Not a great month. Four aggregate, 41 non-aggregate, and his check for the $430 owed for those rail cars is in the mail to the county. So that was the update he gave for December.
Where did the aggregate come from?
I do not know. He didn't state. I'd have to request to see his books to see where the aggregate came from.
I mean, he's not crushing rock at, okay.
No.
Good. Well, maybe bought ballast and brought it in. I just
it like could
my
yeah
blood pressure down today.
There's a landowner in battle for a jackal.
The trucks on the car from the, you know, bringing aggregate down from the quarry, and she looked forward to seeing that mitigated by using the PVJNR railroad.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about the benefits of the railroad.
Yeah.
It's just, you just can't go diving into a piece of property and start ripping things up.
Yeah. Well, she said, you know, the traffic would be tremendous with those trucks coming down the hill all the time.
Yeah, no, I'm all in favor of, you know, rail and rock.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, like I'm all in favor of businesses coming in, but I don't want them in my backyard.
Hey, just a reminder, if you're going to speak, make sure you bring the mic to your mouth closer. People online are having a tough time.
Okay, let's hear from BYCX.
Thank you, Dan. BYCX, we closed strong this year. Our passenger count for the year was just a little shy of 8,000 passengers. 52% of those ran on the 24 trains at the end of the year, the Christmas trains. So a little over 3,900 passengers. We did have 150 tickets we gave to charity organization, Foster and Cloth, or Foster and Clothe, which apparently has replaced CASA, taking care of kids in the court system. But we gave them two packets of 75 tickets to give out to the families. And as far as we can tell, those were 100% utilized because they were checking people off. And if they didn't show up, they didn't get on the next list for freebies. We also had a local merchant in Yakult, Stella Lux, which is a new merchant out there. He's a gift shop, real nice gift shop. And if you follow the Yakult Facebook page, they hide ornaments in town. Oh, I shouldn't say hide them, they place them for the kids to find around town. Well, they also came out and brought 20 ornaments for every one of our trains for us to place around our Moulton station for our passengers to find. And that was a big thing for the passengers. They loved it. The kids loved finding those. And they're nice ornaments. Some of them were priced up to $30 retail. They're beautiful ornaments that come from, a lot of them came from Europe. And they were very nicely packaged. And inside that package, there was a $5 gift certificate at their store, plus a $5 gift certificate at the pizza place on the corner. So people could take their kids up there. The old Backroads Bar has been modified, so it has a family section now, and it's got a lot of people in there. Hopefully next year, we'll maybe get a little bit more merchant involvement, and maybe the taco store, get him involved too. I thought my glasses. We're working on our building right now, getting quotes. Hopefully we'll be able to get a favorable lease from PBJR for the Y property up there, since now we have to go to them rather than the county for lease of that property. But Doug and I are supposed to meet with the contractors who have started the preliminary bid process and try and do some value engineering. Hopefully we won't, inflation won't cause us to cut the building back too much. Eric has said, Eric with PBJR has said that he would try to help us make up for those missing funds that inflation has eaten on us. The other is we've been doing a lot of track work. As soon as we got past the Christmas season, they've been working up at Chulachi, getting tracks in shape up there so we can move off all the extra cars that are possibly affecting PBJR's commercial activities when they get to pick that up. They came up and did a visit with us, and then we've talked about what they need done. And we've had a lot of deferred track maintenance, which people are up there working on the weekends on that. Just got a picture the other day, unloading ties and shoving them in the ground. So it's nice weather to work in the doing tie exchanges. The other thing is we did detect a fault on Bridge 23, which we talk about into your section. So we'll defer that further on. Other than that, I think that's all we have for BYCX. If anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
How's your lap?
Pardon me?
How's your lap?
My lap? Santa made it through okay. It was, you know, with all the respiratory diseases that are going on, Santa, at COVID, you know, the year of COVID, we didn't run. And the 2 years after that, Santa didn't have his big chair that with the big arms where the people could get up there. I brought the chair out this year, brought it back. Santa had all of his shots back in October, so we were feeling pretty good. And I checked with my physician, and he said, yeah, go for it. And I had that nasty beard, which acted like a filter. So anyway, yeah, the lap went well. The whole thing went well. We we had our wood stove repaired, and we had a nice toasty fire up there, burned a lot of firewood, and it was a great time. We
you guys did a great job.
It was fun. We had a lot of smiles. We didn't have any complaints, so it's good. We're really happy to be out there on that railroad. We're looking forward to when the commercial operation takes over track repair. We're getting a little too much gray hair for us to go out there and fix track. So anyway, that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, Kevin?
Yeah, so we'll go through, you'll see on the agenda that I'm presenting the information a little bit differently. Rather than listing grant numbers, we'll just list project names. I think it's easier for folks. So we have the bridge repairs project in play. We will be bringing that notice to contractors. That's the approval that council will give so that we can put out the notice to contractors and advertise for bids for that bridge repair project. So that'll be going before council on January 16th, which is next week. Actual bid advertisement will follow approximately 30 to 60 days later, depending on schedule. It could slip a little beyond that even, but we're looking to get it out to bid in late winter, early spring, not fall. And then last week, council approved a contract with Excel Tech for the railroad roadbed rehabilitation project, and that project will kick off soon. On the railroad bridge management plan front, waiting for a final version of the railroad bridge management plan to send to the Federal Railroad Administration for their review. I have draft bridge inspection reports for four of the railroad bridges and awaiting the remaining inspection reports, and then also awaiting the load rating analysis for several bridges. And as Randy mentioned, there was a crushed cap on Bridge 23 that was identified that was picked up in the bridge inspections, and it's something that's identified for repair in the bridge repair project. So that'll be addressed this summer at some point.
Is there any way to accelerate that? Because that affects our run. We start running Mother's Day weekend.
Until we get the project out for bid, I can't answer that question. So it depends on a couple of things. One is the permitting. So because we're working over water, there's a permit from the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife that we will obtain. And so that will have, it's not in water work, so we won't have in water work windows to deal with, but we'll be working over water. So
is that section needs to be repaired? Is that over land or is it over water? Because there's a lot of that bridge is over land.
I don't know. I'd have to check.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm not sure. We'll have to take a look at that and see what we can do to accelerate the repair in that location, if it's possible.
Thank you.
Yeah. So that's the project update. And then what I wanted to do for everybody is show information that the county's put on the county website that is available, just to give an update for the community about what's been going on with the railroad and with our operator. So bear with me one second as I bring this up, and then I need to share it with the online folks so they can see the same thing. Okay, so you'll see here, I think it was in our news, our recent news. Update on alleged violations by Portland-Vancouver Junction Railroad. So there's a news release here, and then that brings you also to a frequently asked questions. There's a link to this in the agenda for the meeting today, so you can easily find it. It has some questions about the lease agreement, who owns the railroad, how long has it been leased, things of that nature, where can I see the agreement, stuff like that. Gives you an overview of the properties and the allegations, who the regulatory agencies are that are involved, and what enforcement steps have been taken to date. So this is the current information that we are able to share and able to provide to the community, and this will be updated on an ongoing basis. If you have, I'm not going to go through each one of these today. I'd encourage you to do that on your own time. But that'll give you an update on where we are with everything that's been going on lately.
Can you click on the actions taken by the county?
So county notified PBJR in November that their actions on county property, and that's property adjacent to the Barberton site, was in violation of the agreement, and we are working on dispute resolution.
I got the impression that what they were doing was working on non-property that wasn't directly connected to the railroad.
They are working on, so the two project locations are on property owned by Portland-Vancouver Junction Railroad, one in Barberton, one in Chelatchie. And some of the work has spilled over onto county property in one location.
I guess I'd like some more clarity about how that happened, because my impression is it was not currently being used for railroad activity.
Well, I don't think the question is whether it's being used for railroad activity. I think the question is whether they're complying with all of the laws and regulations necessary for development of property. I mean, it really is not a railroad issue. I think it's more of an issue of permitting.
They're using their... But why suspend operation on the railroad if it's something separate from railroad activity? Because they're using their Federal Transportation Act exemption from state laws in order to do it. That's why he said there's nothing the county can do to stop the project. And that's what the name said last time. They're doing this under the Federal Transportation Act because they're a railroad.
And Jim, just to clarify a statement that you just made, that there's been no suspension of railroad operations.
Okay. I'd like it clarified. I would hope that we would continue to work to achieve the objective of getting the railroad back into full commercial operation.
So the railroad is currently in full commercial operation under the lease agreement and under the section of railroad that they operate from milepost zero up to their furthest north customer, which is south of Brush Prairie. So
they just got a shutdown notice on those extension projects. Okay. But it sounds like it was worse than that, but I don't know. I'd like to have more clarity.
I think it only relates to the development of additional activity along the railroad. Doesn't affect the main line, as I understand.
That's correct. Okay, and Jim, great. Why don't you read through all those frequently asked questions, and then if you have any clarifying questions, give me a call and we can talk about it.
Then you'll be totally confused.
Say, Kevin, is there, you were saying that he was quoting some type of federal act that he was using to avoid everything else, I guess you'd call it, involved in. Does anybody know exactly what that was, and can we get a copy of that?
Yeah, so federal preemption comes from the, and I'm going to butcher this, but it's the Interstate Commerce, and I can't remember the rest of how it's the, if anybody online like Kevin McDowell can help me with that.
The Interstate Commerce Commission Termination Act, otherwise known as the ICCTA or ICTA.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate that. So that's where the federal preemption comes from.
Is that in the Code of Federal Regulation?
Yes.
Yes.
Actually, it's in the United States Code.
Oh, sorry, United States Code, not the Code of Federal Regulations.
So, do you know the exact code? I mean,
not off the top of my head. Not off the top of my head, but if you Google Interstate Commerce Commission Termination Act, I'm sure you can find it.
Maybe in 99 years. I mean, okay.
But yeah, you could find it online, and we could make that available at some point. I can look it up and send that out to the Railroad Advisory Board.
Yeah, I'll get on. I'll take a look. I'll see what I could find on it. I mean, I've just wondered exactly what he's using on there.
Yeah.
And just out of curiosity, of course, it's been all over the Ridgefield Reflector. So I read it, and they made the front page of the paper on there. And there's been kind of a back and forth on it, and I think Eric even wrote a reply up on there. But they went through a whole dissertation about this, but right at the end of it, they mentioned a logging road exemption. I mean, I'm not being familiar with that. Is there such a thing? Because that's what they were claiming.
That's a great question, and I think what the comment was about maintenance of existing logging roads would be exempt from. I think the comment was about the Clean Water Act. I don't know for certain. I'd have to research that to get you an answer. And then the other question is whether or not it was an existing logging road, and it's still being used for a logging road. So that's something that I know that Department of Natural Resources has been contacted about this and would be looking into that and be able to help better answer that question. So there's several state and federal regulatory agencies that are all looking at this. And I bring this up purely as an opportunity to let the community know where they can find the most current and up-to-date information that the county is able to share on this, on what's been going on. And if there are, you know, further questions, to get in touch with me. And I'll also take this opportunity to address something that came up in recent meetings, which is public comment, public testimony. So while the Railroad Advisory Board's mission statement, as Dan brought up earlier, may be, you know, focused on the economic viability of the railroad and things of that nature, we're not able to control public testimony and public comment to the extent that, unless somebody's being derogatory towards folks in the room, that we can, you know, we can stop that from happening. And if there's a lot of people that want to comment, then we can limit the amount of time that they're allowed to comment. Like if we're at a council meeting, they're limited to 3 minutes, right? So we could do something like that if we end up in a situation where there's a lot of public comment. And then we also don't need to rebut or contradict or argue with public comment. We're just here to receive that public comment. And if need be, we can provide a response at an appropriate time at a later date. Not dissimilar to what we see on the screen right now in frequently asked questions. So I just wanted to make sure and get that out for everybody. So when public come up and they have their comments, we're just going to let them comment and then move on to the next person that wants to comment. And I think that's all I have to say today.
Yeah, I think it's important. And I meant to mention that in my comments that, you know, I just wanted us to focus on our mission, but we are subject to comments, and they can make any comments they wish to. We can limit the length of time that they use in doing that, but we should listen to any comments, and we may want to modify our decisions and our recommendations based on some of the public comment we hear. And that's the whole purpose of having public comment, is something that we may have overlooked or that we should consider in making our recommendations. Okay. Unfinished business, as I spoke earlier about the county code changes and the bylaws that they were handed out, I believe, at the last session, and I believe I said that we would discuss that at this meeting, and I did finally get through them myself, and I'm okay with the changes. There are things in there I'm not overly excited about, but they're not deal breakers and not things that we should be overly concerned about. So I would like to entertain a motion that we accept. First of all, let's talk about the county code. I think that's been modified to include the major things that we wanted to, and is ready for us to submit to the county council for their approval.
This is the chapter 2.20 you're talking about, as railroad advisory board.
Yeah, chapter 2.20.
Yes.
And it's on the screen for those online and here as well.
So you moved it?
Pardon me?
You moved it or?
No, I'm putting it out. Do I hear a motion?
No. I'll make a motion to accept.
I'll second the motion.
Any discussion? It's been moved and seconded that we accept this revised version of the Chapter 2 in the Railroad Advisory Board code. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Who was that?
That was John.
That was an aye.
Huh?
That was an aye.
You?
Well, that was an aye.
Yeah, John was saying aye.
He just went away.
Okay, so now we go to the revised bylaws, and again, that was modification to meet the standards of the new charter and to fix some things that we were struggling with in the past. And it's been back and forth between us. Kent Cash was the spearhead of this and got it revised, and then it's gone back and forth a couple of times, and I think we're down to a version that's acceptable to certainly to me, and if you've all read it, then we need to have a motion to accept that bylaws as modified.
I'll move that we accept the bylaws as amended.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we revise the bylaws as amended in the last draft we got. Any questions? Comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, we've taken care of those things. Finally, after working on that for a year and a half or so.
So just a point of clarification.
Happy.
So the code will have to go to council for approval.
Exactly.
So I'll draft an ordinance for that, work with Kevin McDowell,
okay,
and get that before, and I think a resolution. I believe that the bylaws and the mission statement are something that we would have you as chair sign off on. I think there's a signature on the last page of the bylaws, and then we would send that. I think it's both the chair and the vice chair would sign it, and then we would have Kathleen sign off on it as well. So we'll put those together as a package and get them to Kathleen, and I'll work with our admin staff to put them in DocuSign so that the two of you can sign.
Okay. New business. Recruitment.
Recruitment, yeah.
John.
Okay. on our last go-around for advertisement for...
John, Mike.
On our last go-around advertisement for new board members, we had a pretty sparse response, and I think we only had one person that had railroad experience, and so we decided to re-advertise, but before we did that, before we do that, we got a group together to kind of, you know, what expertise we'd like to have, and so we met, John Hansen was down in Florida with his grandkids. I think that's probably Disney World, right, John? Oh, I might not hear. Anyway.
No, it is. We were at the beach.
We were at the beach.
Oh, okay. So what we came up with was, wanted railroad experience. I kind of fleshed it out to railroad management, regulation, or operational experience. Experience in economic development, experience in land use issues, experience in transloading and transportation, and experience with municipalities in rail impacted areas. So we'd kind of like that included in the ad that goes out. I'll give you a copy of this. And then we'll see what comes out. We're in no hurry to fill these spots. We'd like to get them filled, but we want to make sure we get quality folks. And we'll take the three that we had from before, and we'll put them together, and then we'll probably get out and do some interviews on these folks, and hopefully we can get some new people in there. So we lost, like Dan said, we've lost a lot of experience, and we need to fill those spots.
If we can, in the advertisement, put a heavier focus on maybe railroad experience than the others, but experience in those areas would be preferable.
And you would like to advertise as soon as possible?
Yes.
Okay.
We got another month, though.
Yeah. I'll work on getting this out in a few weeks.
Okay. Anybody have any questions or comments on that? Yeah.
Not on that. I guess I'll just wait until we get the order.
What? Yeah, let's wait for a minute. Do we have any public testimony today?
Anybody online? Raise your hand. Let me know if you'd like to speak. We have one person. Linda, please go ahead. Linda, there you go.
Okay. I think the railroad in Clark County is an asset. Maintaining an asset is always a positive move. My question would be, what efforts have been made to encourage and promote light industrial activities as opposed to heavy industry? The way the county has grown around the railroad with communities and towns, it does not seem feasible to me to have heavy industrial loads running multiple times a day through highly populated areas. So my question is, can you work with light industrial rather than heavy industrial?
Thank you, Linda. Anybody else online like to speak? Please raise your hand. Or come off mute if you'd like. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a resident who lives near Prairie High School, so I'm somewhat adjacent to the railroad. And I was around when this whole thing blew up with the FRDU a few years back. And I'd just like to say that I really, really object to the way that the council and the county is handling this whole thing. This whole business of doing an end round around the Growth Management Act by the railroad is just totally ridiculous. And a lot of us out here don't even realize what's going on because the county hasn't really publicized it, in my opinion, adequately. And in my experience, when this was publicized adequately, it totally exploded. People were absolutely furious, and Eileen Quirin barely was reelected as a result of the blowback. So I think what I am asking is that we really need to publicize this more so that people that are affected realize what's going on, because when they do, it's going to be like kicking over a beehive. That's all I've got to say. Thanks.
Thank you, Tom. Could you give me your last name for the record, please?
Yes, it's Griebe, G-R-I-E-B as in boy, E.
Griebe, thank you. All right, anybody else online that would like to speak? Raise your hand or come off mute. Identify yourself. Okay. Hearing none, anybody in the room?
Would the councilors like to have any comment? Thank you.
Gentlemen.
Yeah, I put in an application to get on the board, and I have railroad experience. So I was just wondering what the status is with that. Are you just... Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Anybody else? Okay, go to the order.
So, Clark County Historical Society has a book that comes out once a year, and the feature story is written by Greg Harrington is about the railroad from the very beginning to now, and it's a really good article. So I would recommend you go down to the Clark County
Historical. What is it?
The Clark County Historical Society.
It's their annual.
It's their annual book.
Yeah. Where do you get it?
At the library. Clark County Museum or at the library.
The old library.
Yeah, the old library, I guess. Is.
Oh,
okay.
Oh,
the
old
it's on Main Street, so.
16th and Main.
So. $15, but it's a
back,
really good read.
I helped him with some of the research on the early right-of-way. It turned out the originally it went cross-country
from about. It originally went cross-country from somewhere near the Amtrak station out to 68th and St. John's ish, and then sometime later they went down Burnt Bridge Creek down to where they are now. And so I helped him try to figure out where that old right-of-way was from landforms and old maps and answered a few other questions for him. But it goes back to the original and up to now.
And Neil, do you know if that article is available electronically in any way, or is it just the bound copy of the book? Okay.
You know, I really feel that this railroad is part of the history of the county, and it's worth preserving. You know, I'm on the board of the museum out in Amboy. We saved an old building, an old church, and it was an all-volunteer effort. And if you... You know, it would be easily to allow that church to collapse and be gone. And because of a community effort we were able to preserve, well, I think the same thing's true in the railroad. The railroad's part of the history of the county. It can provide significant economic benefits, and it would be a shame, you know, to lose something that has that tremendous historic value to the county, and it has potential economic value. So I think it's great when somebody comes up with a history like this that reminds us how valuable that railroad is, both from a historical and a commercial standpoint.
Do you know if the Historical Society has a website where you can order it, or you have to go physically there?
You can do it online, I'm sure, but they're in the Philip Kennedy Historical Society. And if you join, it's free, so it's part of joining up, being a member.
Okay. Great. Anything else? Anybody?
I move we go to football games. I mean, I move to adjourn.
Anybody object to the adjourning? We're adjourned.
Good job.